With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so you are in love. Deeply in love, you have a life partner, everything is going well until your partner dies. Fast forward 3 months and a dude shows up and he is about 20 years older than your partner and he's like a version of him that is like dumpier and like more drunk all the time and like sort of just like off. But he says like, hey, in my version of the world, in my verse, you and I broke up, but I think you and I could have like another chance because I've already burned the bridge with the other version of Mary Jane. So, but the only way we can both live is if you come with me to my dimension. So the question is, do you leave everything you know in your universe to go be with the alternate version of Spider-Man who's got a pout belly?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Colin.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Kelly.
So, wait a minute, though.
Here's the thing. You're coming at me. You're coming at me because right after the movie finished, I came up to you and I said, was it just me or was the old dumpy Spider-Man hot? Like, he could get it. And
everyone agreed with you.
True.
Almost.
Yeah. Almost everyone.
Yeah.
Ryan was the lone voice of reason.
Reason? What?
I disagree.
Or so
no,
she claimed.
Dumpy Spider-Man could get it.
He was hot as shit.
Okay, fine. Yeah. He's hot, but you have been with the Chris Pine Spider-Man.
Yes.
You
so
weren't with Dumpy
boring.
One.
Who is dead, by the way.
He's dead.
He died.
Very dead.
He's super dead. So do you leave your world behind
for a chance at
happiness with the alternate version of your dead lover?
You cannot, because he has to return to his universe where there is a Mary Jane.
Right, but like I said, they burned the bridge
up with that.
But wait, wouldn't
she still exists there?
Yeah,
wouldn't
yeah,
dimension
also,
A Mary Jane have the exact same problem in dimension B?
Not in my hypothetical that I invented for the program.
He died before it could happen. So here's the thing, he gets to start over.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's such a fuck you if like older Mary Jane sees him with literally
younger.
A 20-year younger version of herself.
20 years younger and like less damaged. And less damaged by him.
Yeah, I know.
Like he really gets to start over and
wait,
old
you think,
Mary Jane does
you
not.
Don't think that would damage her though? Having her husband die and then having the 20-year older version like show up.
Well,
that's damaging.
Okay,
come back as a brunette,
to,
no less.
But compared to being with Jake Johnson for all of those years.
Yeah.
He was coming up short every day of that entire relationship.
He'd be talking to you in that voice, though, the whole time.
And yeah, he'd be Nick Miller. That's what he was.
Yeah, and we got nothing against Nick Miller, I don't think.
Nick Miller. Well, it's tough. And then also, I mean, we're also ignoring the, like, you know, can she survive in another multiverse? Who cares?
I'm saying she can. I'm saying you have some, for some reason, if you...
Magic.
Yeah, there's magic that's Mary Jane specific. She can. Do you go?
Yeah.
Do you go with this man? Even Oh, man.
Here's the thing. He's like, he's such like a veteran at being Spider-Man. He's really good at his job. He's like, kind of like.
No, but he's let himself go a little bit. Like, he knows the ropes, but like, he can't pull them the way he used to.
No, he can't. And also, he's not like as tight as young Spider-Man.
And he's not the man you loved.
No, he's a different guy.
He's a different guy.
He's a different guy.
I think the hardest thing about this scenario is the timeline, because Peter B. Parker has got to go. So if you're coming, you gotta leave tonight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's quick. You gotta make the decision.
That's like, you gotta get sold on this real hard.
Like some Midnight Train to Georgia shit.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know. I think if you see a version of your SO that like has fucked up their relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he leads with that?
Yeah.
You ask, don't you? You ask about yourself.
Yeah, you do.
Sure. Yeah.
What happened to us? You seek out yourself
for sure. Like,
wait, does that mean you already went?
Yeah, Kelly is already gone.
No, so I'm already there.
You're committing.
And then now I'm like, uh-oh. Maybe not good. And then I go and spy on myself, and then I'm like, oh, dang, you know what? Maybe this Peter Parker is not great.
Yeah, I think I would want to hang out with me. From the other
world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd want to give up everything I have for this guy who's a shittier version of the man that died.
Yeah. It is a giving up a lot. You would have to be, well, her whole life is kind of gone, though.
Because Peter died?
Well.
I mean, she gets to work with Mr. Fisk's charity. She gets to go to dinners where everyone is wearing a Spider-Man mask.
Yeah.
That was so disturbing.
That was insane.
Like, if we were true to Mary Jane's experience, that would have been so hard.
That would have been horrifying. Yeah.
She would, and it was crazy how, like, so, like, she did not seem fazed when one of the Spider-Men, like, was apologizing to her. Like, I would have been like, what is happening? Like, do not talk to me.
That is a weird interaction on a very difficult night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very weird night. Very hard night.
You think she would have just sent someone else to get bread?
Why did she have to?
I don't know.
I think she wanted a break from all the Spider-Men.
Mm.
She wanted what?
She wanted a break from it was too surreal. The whole thing. And she was like, I just need bread.
What? So she was going to go and talk to a waiter wearing a Spider-Man mask?
She didn't seem fazed whatsoever.
If your SO just died and you're at a dinner where all of the waiters are wearing masks of his face,
all right, this is can a different you talk hot take.
To, you should have saved this for next week. We don't have a hot take yet.
We could have just Spider-Versed for the rest of time. By the way, this is spoilers for
a movie that came out like a month and a half ago. Yeah. So I think it's okay.
Yeah, you were ready to spoil it.
You spoiled that it night. Like that night.
I don't. Here's
I
the thing.
I saw one person get mad at you.
I
on
saw
Twitter.
One person did get mad at me for spoiling the fact that there is a Peter Parker that dies.
I was shocked Patrick. That you didn't come back and be like, "I don't believe in spoilers." Blocked.
Yeah. I mean, you're.
Yeah.
We all know how you feel about spoilers, and that's very mature of you.
But, that was so condescending.
But
here's the thing. I don't think it is a spoiler because it is part of the setup of the movie.
Because there are people that think anything that happens in the movie, like that's like a big thing, because it is big, I'd say.
Anything that's not in the trailer.
I personally like to go in as fresh as possible.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that like to know nothing.
That's fine, I guess. But I actually think, like, for me personally, knowing that everyone loved it is a bigger spoiler for me than knowing a plot point from the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Those do not count because
you
literally don't
believe in spoilers. There is no plot point I could tell you that would spoil something for you because you don't believe in spoilers. So,
yeah, so you don't care about
that. For you,
yes,
you're indifferent to plot spoilers, but you are an anomaly.
Here, you count in other things, Patrick. It's just like spoilers. It's not.
Well, nobody seems to care that they're telling me that they like the movie, and I'm like, oh well, now I've got some like quality expectations.
You saw the movie the day it came out.
You are insane. The fact that you think someone saying if they like a movie is a spoiler, like I can't.
I'm
actually kind of, so Patrick, I'm the opposite of you. I like to go in fresh, but I don't accept overhyped as an argument against a piece of media. Like, you know, a lot of times people are like, it didn't live up to the hype. Like, well, okay, we'll judge it on its own merit. You know, I always get mad when people say
Me
stuff
too.
Like that.
Also, like, overhyped. Like, that's just, like, you're so annoying.
It just means you're reading about it too much.
Yeah. And it's also just,
like, you got to, you're disappointed that a piece of media didn't live up to your hopes.
You just want everybody to know that you read AV Club and you, like, want
to. Well, I used to read Vulture, but they limited it to 5 articles a month.
Really?
They really did. I literally used to read it every
fucking
day.
Shit. For real?
Yeah.
Dumb.
New York Magazine trying to make some money.
Wow. They're doing the LA Times bullshit.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
Man, what a trip.
No, you're right. That's like super weird. So, yeah. About your spoiler thing.
Yeah, go on.
No, I'm kidding. I would never.
She would never.
Trips. We're talking trippy ships
trippy
today.
Ships.
Trippy ships.
Colin, you pitched this one. I'm curious where it came from.
Well, I texted you guys immediately after leaving an Animal Collective visual experience.
Mm. Uh-huh. Oh, cool.
And I was kind of just wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
So I said, can we do trippy ships? And you agreed.
You ship yourself with the experience you had?
No. I came up with another like cartoon one. But
we should all be so lucky as to ship ourselves with experiences we had.
Yeah. Oh, that's
right.
Cool. Yeah.
Instead of just dreading
transitory.
Them all.
Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah. I guess it depends on where your headspace is. No, Colin, tell us about the concert.
It was cool. It was at the Vista.
Mm-hmm. You like the Vista.
I love the Vista.
He loves the Vista. Everybody, if you want to send Colin a gift, get him some like tickets to the Vista. Just get him a gift card.
Yeah.
A gift card.
Gift
card to the Vista.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take that.
I think that's a good gift for you. Will that make you like Christmas?
Wait, is there a gift card to the Vista in these little packages?
No, I fucking wish. That was so dumb. I should have done that. Burn these gifts I got you guys. Okay, so
it was at the Vista, which if you're not familiar with a single theater in Los Angeles, is a old school one theater style. It's refurbished though, so it's like you can cross your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very luxurious.
Oh, so much space between rows.
For a one theater, like old school theater, it is well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
nice. I saw Thor there. And when I say that, I mean, I saw the man, Thor, there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Nice. It's a wonderful theater. Yeah, so anyway, it was just a cool, like, cool-ass experience. It was very, very psychedelic, and I loved it, and I kind of walked out feeling, like, at one with everything.
Ooh. Did you drop your bean?
Drop my bean?
Did you do drugs?
Oh, I didn't do any drugs. No, it was just very beautiful.
So for you, this isn't about tripping ships. It is about trippy ships.
Yeah, I mean, either way.
All right.
Or I imagine someone's going to be doing a road trip ship. Yeah, I knew it.
That was Kelly raised her hand. That doesn't come across on the mic.
I almost did a couple of those myself.
Nice.
A couple. Nice.
Well, you know.
Damn, dude.
Some quad ships?
Mm. You really got this topic on lock. No?
Stop.
Oh my God, he's blushing.
He's blushing.
No, but tell us what you came up with.
So the one I landed on, again, like usual, comes from the world of Futurama.
Oh my God.
It's the best.
It's a good well to return to,
it
Colin.
Really is. You know, they have every human experience available.
And alien.
Yeah, and alien, and robot even. Mm-hmm. So the episode I'm referring to is The Sting, in which Planet Express ship crew goes to a giant beehive in space to retrieve the like very valuable space bee honey. And while they're there...
Well, there's a danger that the bees can kill you in one sting.
Yes.
Their venom is so powerful that one sting will kill you.
Mm-hmm. And while they're there, Leela decides she's going to kidnap a baby bee and some royal jelly.
Baby bee.
Yeah, it's really cute, actually. He's all fuzzy and like curled up in a ball. So that way they don't have to do more dangerous missions. They could just harvest the honey themselves.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah,
I can't imagine there's any complications. That's a good chip. Patrick, did you have one?
Yeah, so I was also drawing from the world of animation. No, let Colin finish his.
So anyway, while this is going on, Fry ends up getting stung by one of the bees, and he is killed tragically. It's so horrifying.
No.
Oh, so it's like the finale.
No, not necessarily.
Series
there's a twist.
Finale. Oh,
it's a twist.
Okay, what's the twist?
Well,
He's a bee. He was a bee the whole time. Bee movie.
He was a bee the whole time.
Bee movie.
It was. No, this would have come up in our...
No. We're not revisiting that.
So, from beyond the grave, he decides to sue mankind for being rude to bees.
Interesting.
No.
But for real, from beyond the grave, Fry does, like, haunt Leela, basically, telling her that she needs to wake up. Just keeps, like, she keeps seeing his spirit.
And she's eating the royal jelly, which has very intense psychedelic effects on the human brain. So she's having all these very terrifying but sort of beautiful dreams about Fry coming and telling her. Like, and it always ends with him saying, you need to wake up. And then she, like, comes out of her dream.
Right. And she's doing this, like, she's taking the royal jelly because she's been told, like, you know, one spoonful will help you sleep. And is it like two is something else, and then three is to sleep forever.
Yes. So there's like some very dark attempted suicide kind of vibes going on in this episode.
Oh, no. Is she sad about Fry being dead?
Yeah.
She's sad about Fry being dead.
Herself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's very intense. But then the twist is at the very end, after one of the most terrifying renditions of Don't Worry, Be Happy you'll ever see.
She's taken all three spoonfuls of royal jelly, is about to die, or so we think. And Fry is there and he's saying, Leela, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. Cut to.
She wakes up in the hospital and Fry is sitting over her hospital bed. She's the one who got stung. Because the stinger went through Fry's belly and into her.
And then the venom went to her.
The venom went to her. So she's been in a coma this whole time.
And so every time she hears, you need to wake up.
Yeah.
That's Fry, who's not left her bedside the whole time.
Of course,
yeah, it's very sweet. And I love that episode for them. Because I think in a lot of ways it shows that Leela truly cannot live without Fry. And they're meant to be together, even though he's a stupid idiot.
So like sweet with the two of them in that season, because like there's that, and there's the Holophoner episode where Fry has the devil's hands and is able to play this musical instrument that no one can play really well, and he writes the best opera in the world to like impress Leela. And then like he ends up losing the hands to keep the robot devil from like stealing her back. And then like all he has is his dumb little Fry, logic or like his abilities, and he plays the Holophoner as best he can, which is awful.
Very bad.
And he just like, he makes this little image of the two of them like holding hands and walking away. It's very sweet.
Yep. I ship them forever.
I ship them forever too, Colin.
It's very cute.
Mogi, do you have a trippy ship?
There were so many different directions to go with this. And I went a weird one, but I think I was inspired because I'm just trying to keep our potential cage match alive in the future. So yay. I'm going to do a preview of one of my favorite cage ships, and that is from the film Valley Girl, which, are you guys familiar? It's Nick Cage is a Hollywood boy, and he falls in love with a girl who's from the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, gross.
Yes.
Yeah, that is gross.
And it's a Romeo and Juliet tale. It's amazing.
Also,
it's so funny.
I don't think we are familiar. Is that?
I don't know. I've never seen it. Okay. So it is. It's a Romeo and Juliet tale with he's from the Hollywood and she's from the Valley, but it's like cool new wave 80s Hollywood and like really gritty.
Cool.
Like a Hollywood I wish I lived in.
Yeah.
And the Valley, which is very similar to the suburbs where I did grow. And so it's like, it's so like her friends think he's grody and his friends think she's a snot, but like they still love each other. And at one point she's trying to explain to her best friends, like one of them who like does not get it, but like her best friends about like why she likes him so much. I think his name's Randy. I think it's Julian Randy. And she's like, he's just like tripping dick.
Just like Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, just like Romeo and Juliet.
Yep.
I think it's Randy. I was
There's
like,
a
I
Randy
wish it was
in Romeo and Juliet.
There is? Oh.
I was like, you're my friend.
What?
I pranked you. I lied to you and you believed me.
I did.
There is?
Don't be yanking our chains.
I know. I'm just kidding.
But she's trying to describe to her best friends why she likes Randy so much. There's great parts of this that I'm not describing. But in this moment, she says, he's just like trippendicular, you know? And like one of her friends is like, yeah. And her other friend is like, you should get back together with your ex-boyfriend. Brad like hooks up with her friend like the night they break.
No,
but it's okay because she's meeting Randy at the same time, so it's like all right. But like, come on, friend.
Yeah. The friend sucks. The friend should like be like, let's wait till tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, she thought they were gonna be boyfriend girlfriend, and she's like, am I your girlfriend now? And he's like, cha, like you are horrible. Who would do that to Julie? What kind of friend are you?
What?
And she is still like on, like her boobs are still showing.
No,
that was something that's cool about this movie too.
Boobs.
Yes, there's boobs. But like the woman who created, I believe her name is Martha Coolidge. She was told by the studio because it was like a teen comedy, whatever. So they were like, you have to have boobs, and she was like, fine, I'll have boobs. So she put boobs in like. So there's the scene where like the jerk guy is like mean to the girl and her boobs are showing. There's also a scene where two girls are just like talking and doing coke in the bathroom and their boobs are showing. Like every boob thing is like completely desexual. Like it's not high. She's like, fine, you want boobs? Here's some fucking boobs.
That's it's so funny.
I do love doing coke in a bathroom topless, so I can relate.
No, I think that each and every one, I made eye contact around the circle. Each and every one of you would love the movie Valley Girl.
Okay. I want to see it really bad.
So
really bad.
I'm just saying. Like,
where is it available to watch?
I have not tried to stream it because I have it on DVD.
Lucky.
I know. So I can lend you a DVD.
Yeah.
But
I could rent it on iTunes or something.
I bet you could rent it on iTunes. Also, the soundtrack is like next gen.
Really?
It's so fucking good. The movie, the song I Melt With You, which is on there. Like that's like the theme of the romance theme of it. Uh-huh. But it's like great new wave, nice. Awesome song.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Chef's kiss.
Very cool.
Trippendicular though.
Trippendicular.
It's just like trippendicular.
What does that mean? What
like
do we mean?
Like spectacular.
Spectacular.
Just like
awesome.
Good.
But like trippy. Dope.
It's a very, there's a lot of vowel speak in the film.
Oh.
I feel like a lot of Valley Girl speak has like persisted. Right.
And oh, yeah. Trippendicular has
Trippendicular
not.
Did not.
You may have seen
on.
It in my home. I have it written on a wall, like in a decorative way. Or I did at one point.
Is this an homage to the Valley Girl?
Yes. It's from the film.
Cool.
But yeah, like it's great. It's a great movie.
So
it's
the ship, so the ship is just.
It's just Randy and Juliet.
Randy and They're Juliet.
I mean, I also love like they each have a best friend who like they kind of are only hanging out because Randy and Juliet are in love. But they're like kind of cute together.
Sure.
And like she pretends to be grossed out by him because he's so Hollywood, but like really she's charmed by him. It's cute. But like, no, my main ship is the main ship.
Nice.
Yeah.
I need to watch that movie. You talked it up so good.
You would dig it.
Yeah. Mm. Now I'm interested.
I mean, it's in almost like a different language. It's almost like Clueless or Heathers. Mm-hmm. And like the language is so stylized.
Yeah.
But it's great. And the music, like I said, is next level, great new wave, like the kind of music that I feel like if we lived in LA in the 80s, what we would have been listening to.
Cool. Yeah.
Like it's cool 80s music.
Tight. It's
cool. Yeah.
Patrick.
Okay. So I did take mine from the world of animation.
Oh, that wasn't just a bit?
That wasn't just a bit.
That was your actual intro.
That was my actual intro, although I didn't think that I was going to intro it that way until...
Until I forced your hand.
Until you forced my hand. So... When we say trippy anything, I have very early laid tracks in my brain for what a trippy sequence in a movie or TV show is.
Dumbo.
No.
That was a good guess.
So it's maybe not that early. Do you remember
Simpsons.
The tripping sequence from Beavis and Butthead Do America?
I never saw that.
I'm picturing something, but I don't know if I just invented it because I know all the pieces.
Right.
Like, I can imagine exactly what a tripping sequence in Beavis and Butthead Do America would look like.
So the setup is that Beavis and Butthead, and I forget why they're doing America, but they are.
I think they get mad at something they see on TV.
And they, like, go somewhere to, like, try and
Unless
stop it.
Unless that's the plot of... Jay and Silent Bob. All right,
they
I'm
could well
sure.
be the same movie.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
So
that they are doing America for the exact same reason. Right.
You are the ones who are the butt lickers.
And part of doing America, as everyone knows, is crossing the vast expanse of desert between
of
two
the
coasts.
American Southwest.
Yes. Oh, Lord, there's
so
much
desert.
It's
also a road trip in yours.
It is a road trip. But so Beavis and Butthead are walking through the desert.
Yeah.
And they start to realize that it's hot. right?
Oh, no.
And Butthead, Butthead at one point comments that the sun sucks.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. They're walking, then they're crawling, and then they're eventually just like pulling themselves. They're about to die of exposure.
Do they
right?
put their t-shirts on their heads?
No, this is they're not being Cornholio in this okay. moment. They're wearing their shirts normally. It would be good for
their coolness. Do you know why they do America?
Why do they do America?
Someone stole their TV and they're trying to find a new one.
The movie's so good.
Of course.
So Beavis gets an idea. Mm-hmm. He sees a little cactus and he's like, hey, don't cactuses have water in them? So he takes a bite of this little low-to-the-ground cactus.
Uh-oh.
And
it's got little buttons on the top.
It's got little buttons on the top. He's accidentally eating raw peyote, probably. So Beavis and Butthead have this simultaneous experience. Beavis is tripping, but Butthead is dying, I guess.
Oh, because, no!
Because Beavis has this sort of, has the stimulant in him. Butthead does not. He is just lying out in the desert sun as vultures circle them both. But their world becomes a music video, which in my mind is like quintessential perfect. That's what I like about Beavis and Butthead yeah. mm-hmm. is them making fun of videos.
Right. Like, you like the Mystery Science Theater element.
Exactly. Sure. And like, that's what I stayed up, you know, late on like Wednesday nights as yeah. a kid to like watch Beavis and Butthead make fun of music videos. And their world becomes a music video in this moment. And it's like a really gross, like hypersexual thing, but it's hypersexual for like Beavis and Butthead.
Uh-huh.
Like, there are some like lady butts in there, but you just see a lot of naked Beavis and naked Butthead. And I think what they need to do is they need to discover like tripping and drugs in a real way together and just admit that they love each other and they just want to live in a sexy music video together all the time.
Wow. I mean, if those two were perma-tripping,
yeah.
the world would not lose out on a whole lot. Like, society as a whole would
That's
go
right.
on.
Yep.
And they might, yeah, I mean, they might like their fantasy world a little better than the small town world that they inhabit.
I think so. And even as Butthead is dying,
it gets kind of sexy.
It gets kind of sexy.
Okay.
Is it but the it end takes of what the takes. Movie?
What's that?
How do they get saved?
They get saved.
I'm very worried.
It's someone who has been hunting them across the country. Like yeah. runs into them, throws water on them, and
there are a couple where it's almost like the Grump ships. Where like I don't wish anyone else on them.
Absolutely,
yes, exactly.
So like, they're terrible. I'm down for this. I support this.
Yeah, they can just wander the desert in altered states forever.
Yeah. Honestly,
and the rest of us don't have to deal with them.
Exactly. They're not nice guys.
No. I mean, they are just totally inconsiderate of anyone else's experience.
Mm.
Yeah. Put them on a...
It's like you about spoilers.
Oh!
Pew, pew, pew!
Those were shots fired.
That was the only contribution I can make because I haven't seen that movie. Sorry, Patrick.
Kelly, what's your trippy ship?
Okay, so mine was like road trip, but like it's an interesting type of road trip. It's not... Okay. It is the movie Out of Sight, starring George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez.
Are you just saying while they're riding in the car in the trunk?
When they're riding in the car in the trunk.
That is not a road trip.
It is
they drive on a road, though.
They are driving somewhere together.
Wait, and they're both in the trunk?
Yeah.
Wait, do you not know Out of Sight?
I don't know Out of Sight.
Dude, you gotta fucking watch this movie. If you want to see like the most intense sexual chemistry between two people
in a trunk,
anywhere
okay. they're in a trunk, but then they're also like daydreaming about each other, blah blah blah.
Well, yeah, because like even the stuff in the trunk, there's like that scene where it's the cut because it's a Soderbergh movie.
Uh-huh.
So it is sensual.
It's sensual. Mm. It's very, yes. So they're in the trunk and it's just like, so she's a cop. And she, since you don't care about spoilers, she's a cop and she
doesn't believe in
I don't
them.
Believe
you don't
in
believe
them.
In them. That's right. You don't believe in them.
He cares deeply about how he
you
does
you
not
care
believe.
Deeply.
That's right.
You care deeply. Okay, so Jennifer Lopez. And this is like one of her first movies. This is after, like,
post
shortly
Selena.
After Selena, uh-huh. which was like maybe her biggest, like, where she's the star.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She's a cop and she basically catches George Clooney breaking out of prison. and he's a bank robber and he's very suave.
This is pre-Oceans.
Pre-Oceans. So this is like precursor.
A hotter Danny Ocean.
Yeah. Mm. He's like a hot, yes. He's like the first Spider-Man version of Danny Ocean. And so she like has him at gunpoint and then she doesn't see that there's someone behind her who like grabs her and then puts her in the trunk and then they have to drive away from the prison. So hotter, younger Danny Ocean mm-hmm. has to jump in back with her. And so he's just like back there with her and they're just talking and they're kind of flirting.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, can you imagine having George Clooney whispering in your ear like that? Oh my God.
And she's like trying to be a good cop, but she's like, can I be a good cop right now? I don't know if I can be a good cop right now.
Yeah. And then there's like a series of like, there's like a daydream where mm-hmm. she like comes up to his apartment and like sees him in the bath and then like they like make out and it's very hot.
Whoa.
And then
no, it's a sexy little movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of like searing eye contact. There's a lot of
for a non super it's not an erotic movie.
No, it's not it's not like
a striptease.
The like
I'm sorry? Have you seen Striptease? There is nothing erotic about Striptease.
Have you not seen Striptease?
No, I've never seen Striptease.
Okay, so we'll have a triple feature.
So there's
feature.
A list, yeah.
A ballet girl striptease and
like,
and
striptease is like as erotic as like showgirls. Like it's
it's way less erotic
it's
than
way,
showgirls.
It's like I as mean, erotic as like if you combine like boogie nights and,
sure.
and showgirls.
Here's the thing. Showgirls
both
is trying
films.
To be erotic.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights.
But
I would say you need to rewatch Boogie Nights.
I've seen Boogie Nights.
I think
plenty.
You should go home tonight and watch that movie and tell me when it's erotic.
But you know, the most erotic movie we've discussed tonight is Beavis and Butthead Do America.
We all
it's
agree.
It's in the title.
Well, I have a out of sight question though. Mm-hmm. How long of the film are they in the trunk together? Because they're like zapping away to different scenarios.
They're in there like for like quite
away.
A while.
Quite a while, but you. It's a motif. It comes back.
Yeah.
And
oh, so they get back in the trunk later.
No, like, you cut to it because it's like it was a moment.
And then also, like, there's other shit going on. There's, like, also another criminal thing going on that who cares?
I think you also cut to, like, it's a Soderbergh and it's, like, a little bit of his more puzzly kind of story. So I think, I believe you cut back to the trunk to get, like, information that you use later because it's also based on Elmore Leonard novel.
Okay.
So it has like that pulpy crime element. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It sounds kind of fun.
It's like it's like the sexiest episode of Justified crossed with the sexiest episode of ER.
Yeah.
Crossed
wow.
with...
I mean, that's a lot of loaded sexiness right there.
I know. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh my God.
That's too much. Are you going to be okay?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very sexy movie without being erotic. It's not like you don't see like titty or butt or penis or anything like
I don't. Yeah,
you
no.
don't.
You
but
don't see
is,
butt.
No, you don't see butt.
You don't need butt.
You don't need butt because it's
like
so
you know it's there.
They're like full.
You're
like when they're in the trunk,
butts.
They're fully clothed and he's like kind of dirty because he just like came
yeah,
out of the
he's,
ground.
He's like young George Clooney. He's fine.
Young George
it's
Clooney.
It's okay.
And it's young J-Lo. And
wash
just...
your hands, young George Clooney.
This is like post-mullet George Clooney.
Yeah, and it's a lot of like talking.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's after he's like, no more bangs.
No more bangs.
Yeah.
No, I think this might even be like he's transitioning out of the Caesar cut.
Yeah, no, he's not doing the Caesar cut anymore. Ooh.
So
I
is
think,
it?
I
can
think
you,
Peacemaker was his last Caesar cut project.
Is this peak Clooney then?
He's pretty hot.
Is there a hotter Clooney? Colin is giving me the weirdest look right now.
I think he continues to be hot.
Peacemaker came before or after Out of Sight. I can't remember.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I think in some ways, Danny Ocean is Pete Clooney, right? Because it's like a character
that
that's
might be right.
100% run on charm, and he does it great,
right?
And it's enjoyable. But is he ever hotter than he is in Out of Sight?
I don't. I don't think
we're going to be able to solve this.
No. We're not. He's not. He's not. He's not hotter ever because he's not ever in a car whispering into J-Lo's ear about like.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, do you remember the end of Michael Clayton with the deer?
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Hey, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.